I'll go ahead and open it up to the floor to whatever questions may be there. David.
Yeah, David Morrison, Columbia Daily Tribune. How much did the athletics department know about the 2008 allegations, and when did they know it?
So the 2008 allegations that David is referring to, we were aware of those allegations at that time. In 2008, we were made aware of those allegations. Certainly, upon becoming aware of that, for me, normally I inform the people that I would inform, which would be Chancellor Deaton at that time, Chris Cocola, who would be our public affairs person on campus, and a few other folks as well, discussed it. Obviously, Coach Pinkel was aware of that as well, too. So we were aware of allegations back in 2008 at that time.
What steps did you take once the question
was questioned? Is that okay, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, what happened is, like we generally handle any situation from a disciplinary standpoint, obviously the police were involved with this, found out that Friday morning, that was 6 years ago, that Friday morning that Derek met with the police. They talked with him, interviewed him, what have you. And then they released him, and they didn't file any charges. Obviously, when we found out that he'd met with the police, I called Mike right away. Mike goes through the road that we do. That's how we handle things. When we find out that they did not have any charges, then I make all my decisions about information I get, and I can't go and call the victim up. I'm not legally can do that, and you wouldn't do that. But it's all about the information. And when the police get involved, then certainly they are investigators. They're professionals. That's what they do. And if they decide that they're not going to press charges, then I'm not going to remove a player from the team for that. I wouldn't do that. It's not consistent with how I've handled any situation I've been here before. And then so that's kind of what happened in that case.
Mike, Joe Goldust, were you aware that you're supposed to report that to the Title IX coordinator when there is an allegation of rape or anything?
Today, I am aware of all of that. I think majority of us on our campus are aware of that with a number of the efforts that have taken place with President Wolf and Dr. Lofton and the leadership that they've displayed. There's many of us that are much more aware of reporting requirements here on our campus. But back in 2008, I was not aware of those types of procedures and how they took place on campus.
What about, like you mentioned, the Brady Deaton. So none of those people you mentioned it to were aware that you were supposed to report?
No, to my knowledge, for me, with MUPD being involved and other people that I informed, certainly I felt like we were reporting it the way that we would normally report things. So I don't have an answer to that part of the question, Joe.
Yeah, Brennan. How different? How would you have handled that differently today? What has changed since then?
Well, I think certainly there's been many things that have changed, particularly on our campus with regards to knowledge of reporting and knowledge of what needs to take place at appropriate times. So I think today what you would do in a situation like that, if you became aware of that, certainly people recognize that we need to have that reported immediately to the Title IX coordinator on our campus, who is Linda Bennett. But there are other people besides us in athletics that would know that. There's many people throughout campus that would know that. Also, that you would know that there's, generally speaking, student conduct policies that go through if regards there's any allegations towards students, whatever that may be. So those would be referred to Kathy Scroggs and people in that area. So those types of things today are much, much better known today than they would have been back in 2008.
Mr. Oliver, here at KOMU.
Yes. So the first I learned of that was actually in February of 2014. So we were aware that our former soccer player was arrested along with another woman in 2010. So back in May of 2010, we were aware that that arrest had taken place for a fight, I believe, downtown. But as far as the accusations or allegations in that were in that police report, we were not made aware of that until February of 2014. And how we became aware of that was there was a pretty massive sunshine request by ESPN, and throughout that sunshine request, it uncovered that police report with that statement that was in that report.
What was your reaction when you found out that the soccer coach was threatened?
Well, First reaction was I was very surprised. The second reaction was I wanted to reach out to the soccer coach and make sure that he was aware of what I had just found out about. The third reaction was I would call Dr. Lofton, let him know what we had determined, what we had found in that, and certainly wanted to make sure that we reviewed that to see what the accuracy of that is, what the background of that was, or whatever that may be. So, and you may be aware, because I know Dr. Lofton talked about that yesterday, is there was a review that was done on that with regards to over, I believe, 23 people that had been reviewed. That was a review that was conducted outside of the university that looked at that. And so the story that went along with that was just not substantiated through that review. I wouldn't say there was not a policy that referred to that. There was a policy that referred in 2008 that if you were arrested for anything, you're immediately suspended. Could be for 5 minutes, could be for 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks. It didn't matter whether you're arrested for a misdemeanor or whatever would take place. That was a policy that we had in place at that time.
So, Gary, is that more like just your personal policy at that point?
Well, it's based on information. I mean, I have to have information, you know, to make decisions. And, you know, when he said, she said, or really any, unless I have some other information, you know, that's what I go with. And I, it's, again, if the police do not charge, after they investigate, okay, they don't, it's just, they do a lot more than I can do. And so certainly that's I look at that, and if they don't charge him, how am I supposed to, unless there's other circumstances, there's some other things that I know, and sometimes that's happened before. That's how I've always done it. Been very consistent. I think we run a very disciplined, structured program. I think that, we do the right thing. That's the most important thing we do. We try to do the right thing in every decision that we make. I think now in place, with a Title IX on campus is exceptionally good for the University of Missouri. And when something like this happens, now all of a sudden it goes to them right now too. So regardless, you get certainly the police that are investigating, but now you have Title IX, they're involved and they're investigating. So I think that's because it gets more information that you can get. Is the best, and I judge everything I do by the information I get, and it's got to be credible, and it's got to be such that it really applies to what we're talking about.
Gary, in this 2008 situation, the police question there, did you question him, or did you have any conversation about the incident with him?
I always talk to every player, always, and I talked to him, you know, right away, and he certainly denied it, and then, again, I go back to the report. They study, they do what they do. They're professionals at it, and that certainly helps me make the decision one way or the other what I should do.
Gary, to follow these questions up, Seth Foster, okay. The Missourian. We recently saw the program dismiss Doriel Green Beckham for allegations that never led to charges.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question is just, how do you deem these situations, and how do you make decisions based on this information?
I get all the information, and when I get all the information, I mean, everything, okay? And so sometimes I don't have anything but the police investigating, okay? And if they don't have charges, I also look if there's anything else that I have. I had other information, quite honestly, that I knew that would help me make a decision. The decision was that I had to remove them. And that's confidential where I got that and how I got it. I could have thrown it out. I didn't, because I have to do what's right. And I got that information. So irregardless of what the police did, I did the right thing. And that's why I said you got to gather all the information. Sometimes you have some more. Sometimes you don't.
So, and let me add, if it's okay, I'll add just a little bit to that. I think we have to always look at situations. They're always unique. There are unique situations in every type of issue like this that we may be dealing with in college athletics or in anywhere. And so I think that those two situations are pretty different, okay? So as one, with regards to, you may have a pattern, right, that we know of a pattern of behavior that had been taking place. Another, whereas, you know, the first allegation that you've received has been something. So those kind of things add into it, weigh into it. So I think, as if I may, Coach, you know, as he adds to gathering all the information you can, I think it's also important to recognize if there is a pattern of behavior too. Thank you for letting me add to that.
Mike, Gabe DeArmond, and you say that everything, obviously, each situation is unique, but especially with Michael Dixon, with Doriel, some of the things that people thought or said was, those kids had to go because what if it happened again? Did what happened with Derek and the fact that it did happen again later kind of shape the way you treat other incidents?
Well, first let me say that the way that those types of issues unfold, they're all of them are unique. All of them, Gabe, are unbelievably challenging, right? Because each situation is going to have other various circumstances that are specific to those situations. So when you go through those, do those help shape your thought process on any other issues that may come up? Absolutely. No different than us learning as we've gone through about all the improvements that we need to make relative to Title IX reporting, student conduct reporting, all these types of initiatives that President Wolf, Dr. Lofton, and all of us are trying to do at Mizzou. So you take those situations, and obviously you're trying to learn from those. And so that's what we've tried to do in each of those. And I think for us, I believe it's made us a stronger athletic program. I think it's made us more knowledgeable of the things that we all need to do. And I think it's made us hopefully even a stronger partner for all that we're trying to do at Mizzou.
Gary, in the police report, they interviewed an ex-boyfriend of the 2008 victim who said that she could go to the coaching staff and they'd make her sign a contract of silence and could give her a full ride scholarship. And he was a former Missouri player, so I was just wondering, is there any truth or precedent to that, or where would he have gotten that?
I have no idea where he got that. I know nothing about that. Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we're doing. I think one thing, you know, we talked about doing is any player that had any kind of issue at all, sexual assault, anything that even he is accused of, whether he's charged or not, that we would do counseling right away. I think that's something we did. I've always talked about it a lot with our football team. We have Coach Ford, who kind of handles that every year in August with our team, goes very specific about rape and no is no and so on and so forth. During the season, often my team meetings on Thursday, I talk about different aspects of assault and being respectful to women. We have a Men for Men on campus that started a few years ago, where we get all the student athlete men and have classes, and that's often brought up. We bring in guest speakers sometimes, so it's in our society it is a, you know, sexual harassment is awful. It's something that we gotta, and sexual assault is, we have to do the best we can to help these girls. And I got a daughter, two daughters-in-law, and I got four granddaughters, and so. I think Title IX being on campus is great. Some of the things that the chancellor and the president have done, it's a real ugly part of our society right now, and we got to do everything we can to help fix it.
Mike, Kevin Madowski with the Columbia, Missouri.
Yes, Kevin.
So a lot of these situations have involved tutors, women's athletic programs, as well as revenue sport athletes. How much of this falls on the athletic department? You know, what can you guys do?
Well, Kevin, first of all, one incident is too many. Yeah. Okay, so we know that. One of any incident is too many. And from an athletic program standpoint, we have to constantly be educating. We have to constantly be reminding. We have to constantly be reinforcing the messages of our core values, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, how do you report, right? How are you supposed to handle particular situations? And so that's something that we constantly strive for and work on all the time. And that's a requirement of us. It's an obligation of us, and it's important that we do that. It's part of who we are, and it's something that we have to focus on every day.
Six years ago, you're talking about 4 years ago now, in 2010. When I heard about this, I had him in my office, and quite honestly, I said to him, I said, 2 years ago, now you got to understand there's nothing in Derek's background, anything that would invite us to think that there were issues that he had, okay, in any way. But when that happened, I said to him, I said, 2 years ago and now, I said, this is serious. And I said, you might be dismissed from the program. The police are investigating this. But, we got problems here. And then what we did is we just, you know, just followed along as getting reports. Obviously, Mike was aware of it and the chancellor. And we're just getting reports from the often as we could, kind of where the investigation was going. So again, I need information, okay? I need information. And actually what happened on that is we were going through, Mike and I were meeting quite a bit about it, and right about the middle somewhere, again, it was 4 years ago, the middle of August there was a point when, or end of the second or third week of August, where we got the feeling that it was probably there's a greater than 50% chance that they're going to arrest him, okay? So, you know, Mike and I are talking about this. So what they're saying, and possibly he'd be arrested at the very end of August or sometime in the middle of September. And Mike and I met on that. I remember one evening we were talking about it. And I just told Mike, I said, there's no way in the world, knowing that he very likely is going to get arrested in the middle of September, can we play the first game with him? We can't do it. I had enough information so that we would make that decision, and that's what we did. Okay, we suspended him prior to. And whether it was going to be an assault charge, which we didn't know, or a felony charge, we didn't know. That's the process that we went through. And we're just not knowing the possibility of him in the middle of September playing two games. We can't do that. It's not the right thing to do. So we suspended him. And later on, he was removed, obviously, from the program.
Gary, obviously, it's 6 years down the road now. But, I mean, aside from the fact that the Title IX report wasn't filed or whatever, you comfortable with everything you and your coaching staff did? Do you feel like if something like this happened again, you could handle it the same way?
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly you're always trying to make yourself better. I mean, that's my job. That's what I do. We look coaches, players, everybody, try to make ourselves better. Our campus is better right now. I mean, certainly I think that's the help. The reason Title IX is significant to me, because there's another source that I have to make decisions. Like I said, I get instantly counseling for anybody that was involved, even though they were not charged. As much as information I can get so I can make the right decision and do the right thing is kind of what I need, and that's why I think the Title IX aspect, that part of it, is going to really help this campus. I think it would help these young ladies.
And Gabe, we know that, you know, obviously we know that mistakes were made in the past. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, it's incumbent upon all of us to learn from those mistakes. How do we analyze those? How do we learn from those? And how do we improve? And I'm not talking as an athletic program. I'm talking about as a university.
Gary, I wanted to make sure I was clear on something in the report. It indicates that ESPN did the FOIA request for emails that included yourself at the time of each police report that was filed.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of communication do you have throughout the staff and the athletic department with these types of
things? If you ask any of my friends, I don't email a whole lot, hardly at all. And so I have no idea. I mean, they got what they have, and, you know, I do the right thing, but I don't I'm not a big email guy.
Yes.
Mr. Allen, my name is Aaron Reese. I'm asking just to clarify something. Yesterday when the chancellor spoke, he said that the soccer coach, when he spoke to the player, did say something about scholarship being in jeopardy, but that it was related to it could result in her own legal trouble, which could ultimately lead to her scholarship being in jeopardy. You said earlier that the outside reviews did not substantiate the claim made by ESPN. Are you saying that it didn't substantiate the conversation happening, or just the way ESPN depicts it?
No, the outside review, as I said, did not substantiate that there was a situation where scholarship was going to be in jeopardy based upon what had taken place. And for our former soccer player, we know that her scholarship was never in jeopardy. She was a post-eligible student athlete. We know that she finished her degree here at the University of Missouri on scholarship. So what we do know in that review, though, was that it wasn't able to substantiate that.
Thank you. We have time for a couple more questions here. Mike, ESPN mentioned that they reached out to you guys for comment and they declined to comment. Why not give your side of the story, I guess, for the original showing of it so your side could present it?
Well, Joe, I do believe that as broad as the Sunshine request had been, as broad as the issues were, that it was impacting and looking at not only intercollegiate athletics, but was looking at a university, at a system, whatever that may be. We just felt as an institution, really, as a team of people, that would be our communications team, that it would be more appropriate for us to decline comment.
Coach, when was the last time you talked to Derek Washington?
I don't know. I can't remember when. I don't think I've talked to him since he left.
Well, thank you very much
for
being
here
with us today. Appreciate the opportunity to answer your questions.